And your microphone has to say.
That's nice.
And you're live.
I like that.
And you're live.
I'm live. Praise the Lord, everybody all over the world. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because it's true.
It's so true.
So when someone said hello to me from New Zealand last week, so I was wearing my New Zealand shirt all week. Because people, are you from down under? I go, nah, just got a t-shirt. So praise the Lord. We are here today. We have a great message. And I just prayed and asked the Lord to help me. So if you like the message today, it's because God helped me completely. Because I am. He gave it to me a couple days early, and then I tried to get it together, but I think the Lord just guided me on the line he wanted me to. Because I want to explain a couple of things to you guys before we get started into this. One of these days, I'm going to bring a list of all the people that are on YouTube that are in the chat rooms and stuff. Because I gotta give them some shout outs. We got some good people in the chat room. How about Barry Awe? He did a YouTube video and he gave me a shout out that was like, man, maybe I'm his best. We best buddies now. And I was like, wow, he did a video, and it was a good video too. So thank you, Barry. I really appreciate it. Excuse me, Dr. Barry.
Oh, Dr. Barry.
Ah, that's how I say his last name.
Dr. Barry.
Barry, A-W-E. And so thank you very much. And so I'm going to pray in. We're going to get started on today's message. Very important message today, and we're going to talk about this. So let's pray. All right. Everybody bow your heads. we're funny. We got one guest today. And so we got one member today. So, you know, so we still doing our thing. And so I'm going to have fun. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we just thank you for this day, this Sunday morning, Father God, as we give you praise and honor and glory, Father God, for all that you're doing, Father God, for all that you're about to do. We thank you, Father God, that we are in this year, Father God, of your taking your bride out of the world, Father God. We thank you that we've come to this moment, Father God. We just pray, Father God, that everyone is ready, Father God, that everyone is ready to be caught up, Father God, to be with you in the cloud, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, that eternity is more important than this world. And we give you praise and we give you honor. Help me in this word today, Father God. I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. We are going to talk about, first of all, the word Hebrew. Okay. What does Hebrew mean? Do you know, Chrissy? You know what Hebrew means? Hebrew means to cross over. One from beyond going to the other side. Now, the Jews were called Hebrews because the Hebrews were in Egypt and they crossed over to the other side, okay? So they called them Hebrews, as meaning they are the ones that crossed over the other side. But remember, it is God who gave them the name Hebrews, okay? And whenever God has a theme in Scripture, that theme is not just for that moment, because remember, the Word of God is prophecy. Every prophecy is telling you about a bigger moment and a bigger thing that's coming. Like there's a little Adam and there's a big Adam, which is Jesus. There's a little Moses and there's a bigger Moses, which is Jesus. Small David, big David, Jesus. So Jesus is always telling you about a smaller thing to tell you there's going to be a bigger thing. So if the Jews or the Hebrews are the ones who crossed over, then the biggest story is that God is using the Hebrew people so that he can do what? So he can cross over from the unseen into the physical. But he needs a lineage of people that he can keep their bloodline pure so that when he comes through, he can come through a pure bloodline or a line of the Hebrew people that he wants to call his chosen people. Okay? So he chooses the Hebrews to be his avenue to cross over, okay? That's why when you get to Matthew and Luke, they're giving you a whole lineage, like that from Adam with this, and this person was born, and this person was born, and it's showing you the whole list so you can go all the way down till it gets to Jesus. You can see his whole lineage came through the Hebrew people, right? And a lot of things happened, and so where did this come from, that Jesus has decided that he's going to cross over from that side to this side, and that he's going to perform this great rescue? I'm going to talk about this for a second. When me and Drea, I guess before kids and all that, I was writing screenplays. I had a desire. I was going to be a great screenplay writer. And I wrote a screenplay called The Mafia Plot, okay? The Mafia Plot was about a mafia boss who wanted to go to prison for two reasons. He wanted to help his brother escape out of the prison, and he wanted to kill the person that was in the prison who had killed his son. So his whole motive for the movie was he's got to find a way to get into prison so that he can take care of these two things, right? He's going to help his brother escape, and he's going to kill the guy that killed his son that's in the prison. And so for this whole plot to work out, he had to commit a crime. He had to get caught. He had to be found guilty, okay? And then that would guarantee him that he would end up in prison. Now he could start his project, okay?
I like Jesus.
Amen, because someone asked me, Pastor Ben, where did you get the plot for that movie? Because I let somebody read it. They got, that's an incredible plot. I said, I got it from the Bible. It says, because Jesus, see, when listen, let me read here in Genesis chapter 2, right? Or Genesis chapter 3. After Eve had sinned, sin had entered the world, and because of the sin, this death had come to both Adam and Eve and all human beings, right? And so the only way Jesus was going to be able to get this cleared up was that he made a statement to Satan, and he says there'll be enmity between her seed and you, right? So that, and he says you will bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head, right? So Jesus tells Satan, the seed, that's not, the woman doesn't have the seed, okay?
Right.
But she's going to have a seed, and that seed is going to be born. And so he's already telling you there's going to be a virgin birth. Mm-hmm. And he says, but that seed is going to be born, and you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And so now we have to understand, now God is planning to enter in to a physical realm. Yes. So that he can take care of his enemy. Okay, and free his friends, right?
Yes.
And that was the whole thing, what Jesus Christ was using the Hebrews for, and that's why he called them Hebrews. I'm going to use this chosen people to cross over into the physical world.
Yes.
Now, as I'm explaining this to someone, they say, like, well, how did you get this from the Bible? This is what I told them, okay? I said, Jesus has to come to earth in a human body, right?
Right?
And it says, but he can't appear as the angel of the Lord, because God appeared in the earth many times in the whole Old Testament. He appeared as the angel of the Lord. He appeared to Samson's mother, right?
Right.
And he even took a burnt offering, consumed it, and went back up into heaven.
Yeah.
But as she talked to him, she talked to a man. He appeared before Abraham when all of them these angels appeared with, and so the angel of the Lord has always appeared. He appeared as Melchizedek.
Yeah, he did.
And so God's ability to appear in the earth and to appear human in the earth is not a problem for God. But the plot is you have to come as a human being. Yeah. Why? Because only a human being can redeem. He has to be a kinsman redeemer of the people that he's redeeming. So God has to be human to redeem us. Okay? And then it says his body can't be this is what the guy was saying. He says his body couldn't come as Adam because the bloodline between Adam had been tainted with sin. So that created another problem for Jesus, right? Because he has to come into the world, right? And he has to come as a human being. And he can't come through Adam. He can't come through Adam because Adam has a tainted sin problem. And a sacrifice can't have sin.
Amen.
So therefore, now we have another problem. And it's, but I said this. It says, I will enter without sin, Jesus says, through a virgin. No male chromosome from Adam. Okay, it says, I will enter through a virgin with no male chromosome from Adam. My bloodline will come from my father. So the bloodline is going to come from God. But he has a plan to now enter into the world, right? He won't need a man. He's going to come through, so he won't have any of Adam's chromosomes. Now, it says, according to Daniel chapter 26, this presents another problem. The Redeemer must die for a capital crime deserving the death penalty. How do you do this without sinning? You have to die for committing a crime. Okay? But you can't die with sin. So how are you going to commit a crime deserving of death without committing a sin? I'm going to read it to you in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. It says, after the 62 and 7, the anointed one will be, I'm going to use the Hebrew word, karat. And karat means to die for a capital crime. And he says, and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will destroy the city and the sanctuary, the end will come like a flood. War will continue to the end. But the anointed one has to be karat. It's a Hebrew root, that word that has a double meaning. The meaning of karat is to begin a blood covenant. The other meaning of karat is to die for a capital crime. So how is he going to die for a capital crime? And this is what Jesus says. I have a chosen people who will insist that I committed a crime that I did not do. And they will also insist that I die for it. So God has to create a chosen people that's going to not only say that he did something deserving of death, but they're going to insist that he die for it. But you got to understand, they're not doing it on their own. God created them to do it. Why? Because he's got to get into the world and he's got to get close enough to his enemy that he can now deal with him. Okay.
Man.
So that is what happened there. Okay. So only a sinless human being can pay for sins. So that was God's plan. He's going to come into the world with no sin. Now it says every human is guilty of sin. Okay. The penalty for sin is death. So he runs it down. The punishment for sin is agonizing pain. That is why God made hell. Then he says, the punishment for sin is also emotional agonizing pain as they remember all their regrets.
Mercy.
And Jesus says, that's okay. I'll take care of all of the pain. I'll pay for that on the cross. The punishment for sin after the physical death they must also enter Hades. Jesus says, yes, but when I die physically, I will enter Hades back into the spiritual realm as God. That's what they don't understand.
Right.
So Satan is plotting with the Hebrews to kill Jesus, not understanding that the person inside of the body is God. And once you kill that body, and he's a human, and he has this sin on him, he has to go to Hades. But he goes to Hades as what?
God.
So now he's in Hades, and they realize,
uh-oh.
You can't, there'll be no punishing this guy, right? So the scripture tells us, once he got there, what did he do? He made an open display of them, right? And he took back the keys of life and death, and then he freed his friends, first of all. We have to remember that part. Yeah. Because it says, he went down, he who ascended also descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he led captivity captive, meaning he freed all of the Old Testament saints.
Yes.
And said, you leave here, go to my father's house. And so now they get to leave there, because now the door to the father's house has been opened. Jesus comes out of the grave with the power of life and death in his hand in a resurrected body. And he's going to give that resurrected body to everybody who believes.
Yes.
And the door to the kingdom has now been opened. Okay. So we get to the part where Jesus finally gets this done. But let's look at this at John chapter 1.
Pastor, can I do a quick shout out?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Shout out this morning. Thank you, Debbie Morrison, for your list of the abbreviated states.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Sam's got a copy of that.
Yeah.
One. Shout out to our global soldiers in Italy, Nottingham, England, South Africa, Jefferson, Indiana, Ohio, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Liberty Lake, Washington, Rome, Panama, New Jersey, Scotland, Connecticut, Warren, Ohio, Oregon, Nigeria, Texas, Salt Lake City, Nambia, and Washington, D.C.
Hallelujah. Wow. I didn't think you'd be done so fast. I'm like, he's on a roll. Well, praise God. Welcome to everybody, all Soldiers for Christ members. Now, we are in John chapter 1, and check out what happens here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, but darkness did not understand it. Now, darkness is a thing. Can darkness understand anything? No, he's talking about a person, because that person that had been kicked out earlier is darkness.
Right.
And when he saw the light come in the world, he didn't understand, what is God about to do? Okay. So because when God said, let there be light, he separated light from darkness. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself is not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which were his own, meaning the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. Who became flesh?
The Word, Jesus.
And the Word is who?
Jesus Christ.
It says here, and the Word was God. And God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Now, if you really want to know he's God, you go to 18 and it says, no one has ever seen God but God, the one and only. So the one and only is God, and God has now manifested himself into the world. In 14, it also says this, but it doesn't use the word in here. But if you looked it up in the Greek, it says the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Okay, so what does it mean to tabernacle? To come, to dwell, to live with you. Okay, so you have this thing called the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, now the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the seven feasts, but the last of the seven feasts is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that time, people have to build booths. Okay, so they build these temporary homes, little huts, that they have to live in for 7 days. And God commanded them to do this. Why? Because he wants you to know that the temple that you're living in right now is temporary. Okay, it's a temporary hut. Okay, but it has to be done with after 7 days, because there'll be the 8th day is eternity and no more temporary huts. You understand? So you live in this temporary hut, tabernacle, for 7 days. But now for the Feast of Tabernacles means it's the end of the harvest season. All of the people who are going to be resurrected and receive the resurrected body that Jesus has will be resurrected and will be at this thing called the Feast of Tabernacles at the last day. That means everybody who has ever been saved, okay, from Old Testament to the church to even those who get saved in the tribulation, will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. For 7 days, you have to party. Listen, I'm telling you, it is in I think in the book of Zechariah that no one is allowed to be there and to have a smirk on it or a sadness on their face. Everybody has to rejoice and praise and dance for 7 days.
Yes.
Then when the 7th day is over, you have Simchat Torah, and then you have an 8th day, and he says, now have a real party. And then the 8th day, you have another party. And then that finishes off the festival.
Yeah.
Now, this is a symbol that God gave to the Jews to practice every year. And I should say rehearse.
Uh-huh.
It's a mikra. So you have to rehearse this every year, celebrating for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, throwing just the biggest party, right? And it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, during the 1,000-year millennium, because, you know, once we get raptured, we have to come back.
Yeah.
And Jesus, this is the wonderful thing about this. When we get raptured, and the day is coming soon, I know you guys think that the coronavirus is the biggest news, but you're living in the 120th year. So the biggest news should be we're about to leave, okay? And once you leave, the next time you get back here, you know who will be a king over the world, over the whole earth? Jesus. There'll be no presidents. There'll be no kings. There will be one king. There'll be one king only, and that will be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So this event is right in front of us, okay? But understand what God had to do. He's trying to show you that the end of this whole thing is going to be the Feast of Tabernacles, because we're all going to celebrate.
Yes.
But Jesus had to come down here first, right? Now, I had a friend when I was growing up. His name was Coy. We loved everything the same. He loved football. I loved football. We'd be in the front yard just playing football, the two of us. Like, you Coy Bacon, I'm Deacon Jones, and we're going to sack the quarterback, and we're plotting. I mean, then he could come to my house and play, and then some days his mom would say, well, why don't he come over here and play? And then I could go over his house and play, and it was just this perfect friendship because we could go to each other's house and play. Well, this is what Jesus came here to tabernacle with us, but he doesn't want it to just be like that. He wants you to come to his house so you can see where he lives so you can tabernacle there, okay? So that's why, let's read John chapter 14.
What verse, Pastor?
Verse 1. So in John chapter 14, it says, do not let your heart be troubled. This is Jesus, because he's tabernacling here, right? But he wants to let you know there's going to come a day you get to go to my house and play. Okay? And he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and paralambano, take you as a friend or a companion, okay? And so he says, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going, okay? And that is Jesus Christ. He already gave you directions to his house. He knows where he lives. So if you try to go some other way, go ahead. You can end up somewhere else. But there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. So God has a plan for not only that he was going to come and tabernacle here. And why did he come to tabernacle here? He had business to take care of. He didn't just come to play. He said, I'm going there because I got to free some people and I got to get rid of my enemy. Okay, it's like the movie that I wrote, the mafia plot. Mafia in Hebrew means bread, means bakery, right? So if you go to the mafia, you go to the bakery. So they make bread there. That's where I get the idea for this thing, right? To make that you know, heaven is going to make living bread that's going to come down and is going to take care of his enemy, right? So that's where I got the idea from, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this story from God. I'm going to make a screenplay out of it. And then God was like, you better pay 10% if you sell it. But I don't know. But I had this movie and I was like, you know, really, really loved it. But we're about to go to our friend's house. We're about to have the opportunity to go to see where our friend lives. You know what I mean? He's been here, but he says, I want you to see where I live, okay? I want you to see the things we get to do at my house, okay? So this whole thing has been orchestrated by God for a specific time and a specific season for us to go to his house, right? Remember, and I don't know how it was when you guys were, but I had to ask my mama, and he had to ask his mama, and his mom would say, well, what time is it going to come? And then my mom had to get me ready, and then she'd have to take me over there, and I had to be there when I said I was going to be there, right? There's a specific time. This is a planned meeting. Your meeting to go up is planned, okay? It's been planned since the beginning of time. You're in that year. Even though the Lord keep telling me, these people think that the coronavirus is the most important event going on in the world now, and the whole world is about to change because I'm about to take the church out of the world. And so now, why is everybody concerned about this? You know why? And the enemy keeps us on that. We are so caught up into what Trump is doing. Is Trump really on our side? Is he not on our side? Someone sent me a thing this morning in Italy, like they made a thing that they want to Bill Gates arrested. And I'm like, well, that's perfect. And I'm like, So it's like, that means that's a second country that wants him in prison.
Yep.
And so all of this stuff is going on in the world, but it's not my concern. I'm telling you right now, what the world is going through with this is not my big concern. My big concern is, are my brothers and sisters in Christ ready to leave? That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because I like eternal friends, okay?
Yeah.
So let's look at this thing here. I want to show you how important Tabernacles is, right? And I want to show you. Now, when is Tabernacles? Do you guys know when Tabernacles is? On the Hebrew calendar, it is the 15th of Tishri, okay? So it's on the 15th of the month. That means, remember how important 15 is.
Yes.
Okay? Do I need to show it to them?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. 15th letter of the Bible. Semek. That's the 15th letter of the Bible. That is the numerical value of Yod Heh, which is Yah, God. Okay, let me write Semek. Semek, the numerical value of Semek is 120. Okay, so the 15 and the 120. Now, all I got to ask you is this. When did the world get judged in the flood? 120 years. When did Moses die? 120. When was Saul, David, and Solomon king of Israel, and then all of them, and then after this, the last one, judgment came, and they all ruled for how long? 40 years, 120. So judgment and beautiful things, because when the flood happened, it was a beautiful thing for the people on the ark. You understand? It was only judgment if you wasn't on the ark.
Right?
So 15 and 20 is always representing a joyful time, and it's also representing a judgment time, okay? They are the same number. This is how you spell out Semek. This is Semek, the letter. This goes deeper than we can get into today, but I just wanted to give you an idea of why the Feast of Tabernacles is on the 15th. Because it's an important day. It's a day of joy. Now, so Jesus plans this entrance into the world. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. All right. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. And we are going to, let's see here. We are going to start out in verse 1, okay? Because I want you guys to know this. Okay, when was Jesus born? Does anybody know? Yes, the Bible tells you when Jesus was born. Okay, because it says he became the word became flesh and did what? Tabernacled amongst us. Okay, God's plan was also always that he's going to when he comes, he's going to tabernacle amongst us. So why wouldn't he have his birthday be on the Feast of Tabernacles, right? So Luke runs it down for you so that you can see exactly when he was born, right? So here it is. In Luke chapter 1 through 5, it says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. Okay? His wife, Elizabeth, was also the descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on priestly duty, right, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembly of worshipers were praying outside. Now, if you read this, there were a multitude of people waiting outside for him to come out of the temple. Okay? Let's continue. We'll get back to that. Okay? Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Okay? So now, he's in the priestlyhood. He's in the division of Abijah and Abijah's priesthood. And I'm going to, I have this, Pastor Ben. I'm going to send it so you can send it out to people. I couldn't this morning. But the priestlyhood of Abijah was the eighth course of the priesthood, okay? So they knew exactly what time of the month that it was time for them to go on priestly duty, okay? So the eighth course of Abijah always served during the month of Sivan. So when the month of Sivan, which is June for us, that's when he was on his priestly duty, right? So he's in there in the month of June, and now the month of June is Sivan. And when is Sivan? Pentecost. Okay? So now if you want to know why all these people are outside waiting for him to go in and light the candle, this in the month of Pentecost, which is called what? Shavuot, which is what? The Feast of Weeks, which is commanded what? Every Jew from everywhere must be in Jerusalem at this time. So you got a gang of people outside waiting for Zechariah to come out. Okay. Okay, now watch this. I'm going to read it as it is. In Luke chapter 1, 23 to 24, it says, "When his time of service was complete, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she hid herself." She stayed in seclusion. So he goes back home, and his wife gets pregnant, and she stays secluded for 5 months. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph." So this is in the sixth month. She's already, Elizabeth has hidden herself for 5 months, right? She's pregnant. In the sixth month, the angel says, okay, now it's time for the other one to get pregnant. So he says, it says, "The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, or Yahweh's salvation," right? Mm-hmm. So this is what he tells her. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Now, she doesn't hear that part, obviously, because her question is, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin," or since I, the scripture says, since I lo conozco a man, okay? Which means I don't have an intimate, I've never had an intimate relationship with a man, okay? Amen. Now, we have to understand this, and it's not speaking of it in the same way of a wife and a husband, but when God says, the person that says, Lord, Lord, and he says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will, but he says, God will say, away from me, I never knew you, right? It uses the same word here that Mary uses that says, I don't have an intimate relationship. He said, I never had an intimate relationship with you, right? That means we never really chopped it up like that, right? our relationship wasn't tight like that. You understand? So you can't just say, Lord, Lord, and enter the kingdom of God, because he'll say, I don't know you. And Mary was saying, I have never known a man. A man, okay? And so she says, how can this be since I am a virgin? He says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, okay, your relative is going to have a child in her old age, and she who said to be barren is in her sixth month, right? So Mary says, get my bag. I'm going to go see what's up with Elizabeth. Is this true?
Right.
So she goes and she stays with Elizabeth for how long? For 3 months. Why is she staying with her for 3 months only? Because she was already 6 months when she got there. 3 months she stayed there, and then she went back home. When it was time to have the baby, she went back home.
Right.
So now Elizabeth is going to have her baby. When Mary gets back home, how pregnant is Mary? 3 months. Mm-hmm. Now she's got 6 months, 6 months till her baby is born. Now I'm going to do it like this, okay? So it could be simple. But if you want the study, you know, we're going to send it out. Yes. June, which is Sivan. So June, July, August, September, October, right? Uh-huh. Okay. She hides herself for 5 months. Wait a minute. June, July, August, September, October, November is the sixth month. Okay. So she's in the sixth month. Now Mary gets pregnant. No, I did it wrong. Which month did I leave out? June, July, August, September, October, November. So that's the sixth month, okay, that she's pregnant, okay? Now, she's going to have her baby, and then now Mary is there at her place for 3 months, okay? So then Elizabeth has her child. She goes back home, and from December, because a month later, December, January, February, March, April, May. Am I doing this right? I better look at my paper. Because I am, that's why I did the whole study. So from the time that Mary was at Elizabeth's house was in the month of December. Then she goes back home, right? And then at the time that she doesn't go back home until 3 months later. But then anyway, Mary ends up having her baby the 6 month later, which ends up in the month of Tishri, okay? And it's the 15th day of the month of Tishri, and the 15th month of the day of Tishri is the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So the scriptures kind of lead you and guide you through the whole steps so that you'll know when Zechariah was on his priestly duty, how many months his wife was pregnant, when Mary went to go visit him, when Mary went and left home. So God is kind of running you through it so that you understand when Mary finally has her baby, mm-hmm. 9 months later, it's Tishri, and now she's going to have her baby, and she's going to have it during the month of Tishri on the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen.
Very detailed study, but I messed it up trying to do it with my fingers. Anyway, so now Jesus is born on Tishri. When he's born, these angels appear and they're blowing trumpets and praising God, right? And the angels tell the shepherds, don't be afraid. A great time of joy has come in the world because the Son of God has been born into the world. So this is the time of joy, of rejoicing.
Yes.
Now, Jesus comes into the world during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this is very important because of what's about to happen now. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20.
Second Kings chapter 20.
Somebody like, I'm gonna need that study, Pastor Ben.
Yeah,
Pastor Sandy,
already.
Because your fingers didn't do it for me. So, but I have it as detailed. So now, 2 Kings chapter 20, and I'm going to begin in verse 4. Now, Hezekiah is sick, he's about to die. Isaiah tells him, God says you're gonna die. And Hezekiah starts praying and asking God to be merciful to him. And God tells Isaac to go back inside and tell Hezekiah this. And it says, before Isaac left the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him, go back to tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, that is what the Lord, the God of your father says. It says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, prepare fig skins. And he said, then he said, they did so and applied them to the boils, and he recovered. Hezekiah asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day? Okay? So, this is very important because now this gets added to the Feast of Tabernacle celebration. Okay? Because Hezekiah comes up with 120 songs. He comes up with 15 songs. And he goes to the temple. Right before you go up to where the presence of God is, there's 15 steps, okay? So he has a song that he's going to sing as he's going up to be in the presence of God, right? So he sings Psalms 120 is the first song that he sings, okay?
Can I have those notes, Pastor Sandy?
Yes. It is behind there.
Which one?
You got them?
I don't know. You tell me which one.
All of that.
Okay.
Yep, all of that. Yep. So he has these songs that he's going to sing, and he's going to sing one of these 15 songs. Now, I need us to stop and listen. These songs are in the book of Psalms. God takes the book of Psalms, and from Psalms 1, to Psalms 120, there's a 120-year count, right?
Yes.
So God takes Psalms and places it in the Bible as the 19th book of the Bible, so that when something happens in 1901, God's going to already had written it out in Psalms 1. When something happens in 1902, that prophecy is already going to be in Psalms 2. When something happens in 1917, God's going to already have it in Psalms 17. When something happens like World War I in Psalms 14, he's going to do a prophecy. So God is doing a prophecy for every psalm, what's going to happen in that year. If you had known this, you could have read and said, look here, Psalms 48. It says that Israel is going to get the land back. You would have known by reading Psalms that God was counting every year. You would have said, oh, look here, in Psalms 47, it appears that God is going to have all of the nations come together and give the land back to the Jews, because it's already written in Psalms 47, right? You would be able to carefully go through each psalm and see what's going to happen in that year.
Yes.
So it prophesied, and it prophesied all the way up to Psalms 120. And then Psalms 120 is now what psalm? It's the psalm of ascending up.
Yes.
Okay? It's the song of going up. So now Hezekiah has all of the priests every year waiting at the bottom of the 15 steps, and this is called the court of the women, and they're waiting so that the priests can sing these 15 songs as they ascend up and be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Okay? So all of these psalms are beginning. Now, someone said, is this a prophecy of Psalms 120 or not? And if you still believe the coronavirus is real and everything, and 100,000 people are dying every day, I apologize to you. But it says here, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and deceitful tongues. Mm-hmm. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow and burning coals of broom trees. So God is saying, look, and I just think he's talking directly to all these people who have used this lie, yes, to try to tear down the economy of the whole world, because they're all at war over who's going to control people.
Yep.
Okay? So we have to deal with the lie and the deceit. We have to sit and say, oh yeah, it's exactly what they said. Oh, that's not a dummy, that's a real person. And we've got to basically believe what we see on TV, because that's what we're supposed to. But God is saying, but look at the prophecy in Psalms 1. He says, somebody lying in this year, okay?
Amen.
And then it says here in verse 5, woe to me. Now Israel is talking. I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. It says, too long have I lived among those who hate me. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So now he says, Meshech and Kedar, I am in a dark place. I am in a dark place. And he says, I want peace, but the people I'm living amongst want war. So Israel is crying out to God in 2020, and maybe that's coming later this year after Pentecost.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you read Psalms 21, it's still talking about they're in trouble. Psalms 122, and what is it talking about? They've rebuilt the temple. Let us rejoice when they say it. Let us go to the house of the Lord. So now the temple is built. Then now you go to Psalms 23, their enemies are still coming against them. You go to Psalms 124, it's the middle of the tribulation, and the Antichrist has poured out a flood of trouble to destroy Israel. then 125, and then they're still having trouble because now the Antichrist has started a war to try to kill all of Israel. But God is going to protect them. But at the end of Psalms 126, it says, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow," meaning Jesus Christ himself, who left here in sadness, he says, "will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." Yeah. What are the sheaves? The wheat harvest, the barley harvest. He says, "When I come back, I'm coming back with the church and with the Old Testament saints. I'm coming back with my harvest with me." You understand? So Psalms 120 through 127, then 127 says this. It's talking about, in verse 3, sons are a heritage for the Lord, children a reward from him. So now Israel is going to start birthing its own children.
Yes.
Israel gives birth twice, to the church leaving the world, and then to her own children when Christ returns.
Yes.
It doesn't end there, though, because there's all of these psalms that are about going up to see God. Because in Psalms 134, which is the last of the Psalms, it says, "Lift up your hand," and I'm going to read from verse 2, "Lift up your hand in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." That is, I wish I could read it from the Hebrew. I don't want to pull out the book. But he says, "You will bless him from Zion."
Yes.
He says, "You will bless him in heaven from Zion." So God is saying, my whole harvest is going to see where I live, okay?
Yes.
"You will bless me from Zion." Praises will not go out. He said, "You will be there and you will bless me from Zion, from Bet Yahweh," which from the house of God, "you will praise me in the house."
Hallelujah.
Okay? So God's whole plan is this. The Feast of Tabernacles, he came down to tabernacle amongst us. But how is he going to plan for us to go up and tabernacle with him? He chose the same scenario for us to go up with him, except we're going up on the Feast of Pentecost, right? We're going up on Pentecost because we have to fulfill what the church does.
Yes.
But he starts the ascension with the 15 psalms that they sing at the Feast of Tabernacle.
Yes.
And when he comes back to rescue Israel, it will be Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, then the Feast of Tabernacles, and everybody will be in the house. Everybody will be saved. And then when everybody has come into Christ and everybody has been saved, it's called the Feast of Ingathering. That means everybody has been saved. But there is a plan for us to go up there and be at his house, to be in the kingdom of God, okay? So we're in these last days, and the most important thing is not what they're showing you on TV all day.
Amen.
And this is what the Lord told me this morning. We have to get out of their story and get into God's story.
Amen.
Because we're too entrenched into their story. Who's right? Who's trying to kill us? Who's trying to give us a chip? Who's trying to do this? We're so sunk into that, and it's like, I'm over here and I'm planning a wedding. I got a big table set up. This is way more important than what you guys. Now, he can see the world doing that because they don't have a future that they're looking forward to. But for the children of God, COVID-19 shouldn't be consuming our whole day, and the Word of God not consuming our whole day, especially at a time when we're about to leave, okay?
Yeah.
So that's the end of the message, Pastor Ben. I know I went over.
That's the end?
Is that the end of it? Yep, that's the end of the message. I hope I didn't go over. I think I did.
You have 1 minute left.
Hallelujah. So praise God. And I just thought it was incredible that the Lord has plans for us to see where he lives, okay? There's a whole thing when Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house, they go, nobody gets to go to heaven. We're all going to live on earth forever. But that's not God's plan, because then you got to take that whole scripture out, that in my Father's house are many mansions, okay? And he says, I'm coming to take you so you can be where I am. You're going to get to come and see where I live. I've already been to where you live. Now it's time for us to go up. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.